Father, we just thank you and praise you for today. Holy Spirit, you're already here. But we thank you that you're here and that your spirit is just increasing in us. Holy Spirit, we thank you for revealing more truth to us so we can be more mature in the body and use our giftings, Lord, the way you want us to use them. And Lord, we just thank you and praise you. You just take over my mouth today. And Lord, we thank you for an increase in our gifts in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. So what I've been preaching on, or really teaching on, is the manifestation gifts, the nine gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. Okay, we're on the last category. Who does not have notes on that? Or did bring them? Okay. All right, let me give you, Trish, can you hand this out? And then there's a part that goes with it. Here's the handouts. I don't know if I have enough for these, but hand out the handouts for part three to everybody. Okay. I got to get myself situated up here because there's parts. What this whole study is really, I'm giving you from a ministry book. So I'm giving you what ministers would learn, like a class. So that's why it's so in depth. Okay, we have, these have to be handed out to everybody. Carly, are you able to do that? Okay, everybody that's here gets one of those. Yeah, this is a new one. The ones that, these are already, you should have the ones that Trish just handed out. Okay, and this one goes with the last part that we're doing. So everybody should get one of these too. So, yeah. I want to wrap this up today, guys. I know. That's why I got a bigger, I got a donation of this. Look at this. I could really spread it out now. No, it actually came from Donna's sister, Shirley. So, yeah. Okay. Lord, just help me get this all together here. I don't want to miss anything, because right now the Holy Spirit is on me strong, and he's got to help me keep my focus and keep this all together. Okay. All right. So as they're passing out, does everybody have what they need? Were we short? Short one? Who was short something? Okay. Steve and Carla said they'll share. So, I don't want to confuse myself because there's so many parts here. Okay, there should be one that goes with last week's. The Lord had me to stress some points that when I asked if anybody had any questions, and they were really good questions. So, Okay. I'm still trying to get myself organized here. 1, 2, okay. All right. So we're on part 4 of the study of unwrapping the gifts from the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I went through part 1, 2, and 3. All these messages are on the Father's House website for your review. So if you need to review them, you can go back on there and you can certainly do that. Now I have to move quickly. I hope to wrap this up today. So very quick review. There are 3 divisions of gifts. And the first category of gifts was found from the Father, which is in Romans 12, 6 through 8. There are 7 gifts that the Father gives besides our natural born gifts and talents, and they are called the motivational gifts. And these gifts are what drives you. It's how you serve as a goal in your life. And they are prophecy, serving or helping, teaching, exhortation or encouragement, giving or contributing, leading, mercy or compassion. The next division is found in Ephesians 4, 7, 16. We went all through this, but I'm just setting a stage because some of people that are here have not heard any of this. So the next division is found in Ephesians 4, 7 through 16, and they are gifts from Jesus. And they are the 5-fold ministry gifts, which are the office of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And we went in depth with all those divisions. Now, the last one is the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. And they are in 3 categories: the gift of revelation, which are the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. The next is the gifts of inspiration or vocal gifts. And they are the gift of prophecy, various kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. And the last category is the power gifts, which are the gift of faith, the gift of healing, and the working of miracles. And we all want those, right? Yes. And they can be yours. Now, here is a brief definition of each gift. Then we will study the power gifts, okay? The gifts of revelation, the word of wisdom. It's a supernatural revelation or insight into the divine will and purpose often given by the Spirit to solve perplexing problems and situations. The word of knowledge is a supernatural revelation of divine knowledge or insight in the divine mind, will, or plan to know things that could not be known to oneself. And the last one is the discerning of spirits, which is a supernatural revelation or insight into the realm of spirits to detect them and their plans. The next category is the gifts of inspiration or vocal gifts, which we went through last week. The gift of prophecy, it is a supernatural utterance in the native tongue. It is a miracle of divine utterance, not conceived by human thought or reasoning. It includes speaking into men and women for edification, exhortation, and comfort. This means prophecy is not a teaching, a correction, or preaching. And we also ask you not to prophesy dates, no mates, or babies. Okay? And then we have the category of the various kinds of tongues. And this is a supernatural utterance in other languages that are not known to the speaker. And the interpretation of tongues, which has to go with the tongue, it is a supernatural ability to interpret in the native tongue what is uttered in other languages not known by the one who interprets by the Spirit. And these are all during meetings, okay? Or prayer meeting, could be any meeting, okay? Could be outside when you're trying to minister to someone, amen? The last category is the power gifts, the gift of faith. This is a supernatural ability to believe God without human doubt, unbelief, and reasonings. gift of healing, the healing of all manner of sickness by supernatural power without the human aid or medicine. The working of miracles. This is a supernatural power to intervene in the ordinary course of nature and counteract natural laws. Okay, before we get into the power gifts, I want to clear up some points that were in questions that were made last week. And some of these points I meditated on, and the Holy Spirit told me I have to just highlight some of the things that we said. Jim brought up a good point last week, which weren't in my notes, about an interpretation of tongues. Comes after the tongue during worship service is made. It can be many interpretations. And they may seem like they don't go together, but still is from the Holy Spirit speaking and bringing forth the word of the Lord that may apply to the whole body or an individual. Okay? And I did not have that in my notes, and that's a good point. Annette asked about what does it mean when a word or tongue bears witness? And that's in Romans 8:16. The Holy Spirit has to bear with your spirit, knowing that it bears truth, right? And we have to ask ourselves, does it line up with the word of God? Does it confirm what the Lord already said to you? Does it bring peace or confusion? Does it bring comfort, encouragement, or does it bring a negative feeling? It could bring I call it a check in your spirit or a red flag, which is kind of Christianese. But it's like you can't really describe it, but it's something in there that just goes, no. Okay? Saying inside your spirit, no, that isn't right, or no, that's not from the Holy Spirit. Now, a word, a prophecy, a tongue, an interpretation of tongues should never be manipulated or pre-planned. I was in a church years ago, and I also was speaking to Annette about this because she had the same thing happen, that before a meeting would start, that pastor would tell his wife to prophesy this because we need money, or prophesy, yeah, stuff, we don't do that, okay? That is the big no, no, and that will never happen here. Could be, yeah, could be an example. Okay, let me move on. Carla brought up a question. She's good with her questions. She said, about the guidelines of when visitors come to a church. Now, we tell our congregation that if you don't know that person, okay, but you want to, and that person says to you, I have a word for you, and you're saying, well, I think I want to hear it, okay? It's your responsibility to stand there and listen to it. And if it's not right or it's going to cause, especially if a Christian is not really mature in the Lord, it could really do damage to that person. And we have that stuff done here. So we say to you, any visitor that comes, if you want to hear that word, they usually call you on the side, you know, out in the foyer, in the parking lot. Say, I need somebody to stand here with me. And sometimes they will say, oh, that's okay, and move on. They won't even tell you because they know, okay, or the enemy in them is, you know. So you got to be careful with that, okay? Now, does this apply to the ministries that come? We've had ministers come. I can't hear everybody's words that they get, but they also have to be judged, okay? And if it doesn't sound right to you, either put it on the shelf, like we say, just put it away, or disregard it. Okay, and I'm going to give you some examples of some things that happen here, okay, in a little bit. So every word that we get has to be judged, and the Bible teaches us that. Amen? Okay, so it says here, give examples of the ministries. Okay, so this is what I'm going to do. All right. Back in 1995, some of my people here may remember, Conrad Hula. Well, he was preaching. This is my Bible that I always used, and I always write prophecies down. So he was preaching at Isaiah. I don't remember where now. I think I have it marked. Okay. He must have been in Isaiah 52 or 53, because I wrote this down. February 26, 1995. By the end of 1995, Barry and Karen, you're going to be millionaires. Well, guess what? Didn't happen yet. Okay. All right, here's another one. January 9th, 2007, around 8:25, here at the Father's house, I believe this person was from Teen Challenge Ministry, says he went next door, and I was over there, and I think Barry was standing there by the, there was a pool hall over here when we first rented this place, and it was kind of empty at the time. And he said to me and to Barry, if you want this building, it's yours. He said, if you want this building, it's yours. Now, at that time, it looked impossible for us to buy anything. We could barely buy toilet paper, okay? So we bought this building March 29, 2018. It came to pass. Okay, let me see another one. Someone in the congregation today had a well-known speaker years ago say to them, in 6 months, you're going to have a big faith-based ministry. He's still waiting. Okay, now was it wrong? Now I'm going to tell you why some of these things didn't come to pass. Okay. Or does it have to do with something in us, okay? Someone got a prophecy. Okay, let me move on. Okay, my son Jamie, he was 13 years old, and we were at this meeting, and he remembered, he told me it was Beatrice Redman, a prophetess, came to Lampertville Assembly, and we went to that meeting, and he was told when he was 13 that he was going to be famous for a big sound company and become a multimillionaire by the time he was 22 years old. Okay? He is now 43 years old, and he's still working towards that goal. That's 20 years ago. Now, over the years, we had speakers come that said the Father's house was going to have a huge breakout of the Holy Spirit, and many will come and even fly in from all over the place. We were going to have huge crowds. It's coming. Okay. Then here's a couple of ones. That's why we say no dates, no mates, no babies. Years ago, Jack Coe was famous in the heavy in the gifts of the Spirit, and I forgot when, but he flowed heavy like, it could have been in the 50s, maybe like Oral Roberts and when they used to have the healing ministers. Okay, so we were recommended to have Jack Coe's daughter come. I can't recall her name. But she prophesied over my daughter-in-law that she was going to have a baby. Well, she stopped her right in her tracks and said, I am not receiving that. I do not want to have any children. Okay, so that did not bear witness with her at all. Okay, see, her will wasn't involved in that. Okay, and then years ago, before we even came to Pennsylvania, I remember this one. We had a meeting and a prophetic man came, and my sister and brother-in-law couldn't have children. And they already adopted 2 children, and they were there in the meeting. And this man spoke to her, and said that you're going to have a baby. And she said, well, sir, that's going to take a miracle because it's impossible for me to have children. Now, that subject was extremely sensitive to them because she always wanted to have a baby. Okay, so she got very agitated and discouraged. That made her feel more discouraged, okay, because of the way he said it and everything. Could it come to pass? Anything with God, nothing's impossible, right? But in her, she couldn't receive that. Okay, where am I going now? All right, there are several reasons why a prophetic word might not come to pass, even when given by a minister. Now, this is one of your handouts. Okay, sure. Okay. I understand what you're saying. God could do anything. But sometimes, I think most of the time, if you're not in alignment with what is said to you, I don't think it's going to come to pass. But maybe she laughed, but she really welcomed it. You know? Yes.
Sometimes they speak out of what they can envision, and they mistakenly take that as a prophecy. Like Eric gets a lot of, whereas I see you out in the media. Well, that's because you can see it happening, so they're speaking from an internal envision, I think. Sometimes a prophet, like I've received words of like that about somebody. I'm like, I can't say that. So I'm like, that means I'm supposed to pray about it, and that person never knows I'm praying about it.
I'm going to hit on those points, okay? All right. So here are some of the things. It says misinterpretation. Sometimes the prophetic word might be misunderstood or misinterpreted by the receiver. Prophecies can be symbolic or require discernment or understand fully. I want to say this before I proceed. Some of us, and I was one, that I thought, not now, but I thought that when you got a word from the Lord, that it was done. It was a done deal. And you didn't have to do anything with it. It was just going to come to pass. Right. That's what I thought. So I don't know, maybe some of you think like that too. But that's why I'm going through this, so we know and understand. Okay, so that's about misinterpreting. Conditional prophecies. Some prophecies are conditional, meaning they depend on a certain actions or behaviors by individuals involved. If these conditions aren't met, the prophecy may not come to pass. Timing. This is a big one. Prophetic words might have a specific timing that isn't immediately apparent. What seems like a delay might actually be the right timing according to God's plan. Human responsibility. This is where we come in. Prophecies often require action or faith on the part of the receiver. If the person doesn't take necessary steps, the prophecy might not be fulfilled. The person's will also must be in line or in agreement with that word given. Now, that's our part, okay? When we get a word from now on, we have to meditate on it, pray about it, and ask the Holy Spirit, you know, do I have to do something? Like to be a millionaire. We just let it go. But maybe God wanted us to do something. We didn't do anything. We just took it and thought it was going to happen and, you know, okay? False prophecies. Unfortunately, not all prophetic words are generally from God. This is where you got to pray. and some might be false or only partially accurate. Discern, test and discernment. The Bible encourages believers to test and discern prophecies. There's a typo there. This process helps to ensure that the word is truly from God and not influenced by human error. Okay, here are some deeper explanations. Fail to discern the nature of the promise. There are three types of prophetic promises: decrees, they will happen; conditional, it will happen if; and invitations, it can happen. Often when people hear from God, they assume he is speaking a decree, meaning it's, this is it. Thus says the Lord, done. But scripture shows us that is not always the case. Often God speaks conditional promises or invitational opportunities. These promises require human responsibility and partnership, without which they will not materialize. And Jamie's is a good one for that. Okay, because when he was 13 years old, he loved music and he was dabbling into the recording, but he did nothing with it. You know, he just didn't do anything. He wasn't interested yet until he was probably in his 20s. Then he got serious with it, you know, and now he's doing it, you know, on a small scale so far. And he's 42 years old. So, okay. The following page says, neglected human responsibility. Sometimes prophetic words carry specific directives for us to walk out. Other times we hear from God, but we need to pray further to identify any specific steps God is asking us to take towards fulfillment. In either case, there is a factor of human responsibility that needs to be fulfilled in order to see some words of the Lord materialize. If the timing is off, one of the most difficult things to discern in the prophetic is timing. Often it takes wisdom and understanding of the ways of God to discern timing. Sometimes the words we are carrying are 10 to 20 year promises, and we are only in year two, and we're tapping out waiting, and we shouldn't give up. False words. Many believers are carrying false words or only partially accurate prophetic words. This happens largely because in the prophetic movement, we have not emphasized and trained people in the practice of testing them out. If you are carrying a big picture words about your life and you have not done due diligence in testing those words, press pause on those words and enter a testing process with God. Prophetic words should always be a confirmation to you. Most of the time when you get a word from the Lord, you already know, and you might get a confirmation, and then you'll go somewhere else and somebody will tell you something. The same word, and you keep getting this confirmation, then you know it's really from God, okay? Okay, pray about the word. Write it down and put it away. Any questions right now on the prophetic word before I move into the power gifts? Yes. Yes. Yeah. I would keep believing it and go to the Lord about it. Ask him for wisdom to get an answer. Is there something I have to do, Lord, to make this come to pass? You know, things like that. You really have to pray. Yes.
I've seen a lot because God took me to a 20-year journey through this stuff myself, and I've seen a lot of witchcraft into this, and a lot of people use that gift as witchcraft to control, and a lot of churches shut this down because of it's hard. So I'm thankful that you work through this stuff and don't discourage it, even though there's danger.
There is danger in words. Remember, words are powerful, okay? They're life and death. So we do have to be careful and keep this place safe. Amen. That's the most important thing. Good point. Okay, so let's move on into the, let's see. The last category is the power gifts. Okay, and that's on your manifestation gifts that we hand out, the 9 gifts. You got it? Okay. Okay, now the gift of faith has to work with the other two, okay? It has to work with the gift of healing, and it has to work with the working of miracles. So they all flow together. So the gift of faith is a supernatural ability to believe God without human doubt, unbelief, and reasonings. This God-given special anointing to serve and strengthen the body of Christ and others with extraordinary faith given by the Holy Spirit at specific times and in special circumstances. This gift differs from the general faith, which Romans 12:3 states that God has given us all a measure of faith. An example of this gift in use can be found in Matthew chapter 8, 5 through 13. Okay, let's look that up. Matthew 8, what did I say? 5 through 13. Okay, it says, when Jesus entered the village of Capernaum, a captain in the Roman army approached him, asking for a miracle. Lord, he said, I have a son who is lying in my home, paralyzed and suffering terribly. Jesus responded, I will go with you and heal him. But the Roman officer interjected, Lord, who am I? I have you come into my house. I understand your authority. For I, too, am a man who walks under authority and have authority over soldiers who serve under me. I can tell one to go, and he'll go, and another to come, and he'll come. I order my servants, and they do whatever I ask. So I know that all you need to do, Jesus, is to stand here and command healing over my son, and he will be instantly healed. Jesus was astonished when he heard this and said to those who were following him, he has greater faith than anyone I've ever encountered in Israel. Listen to what I am about to tell you. Okay, I don't want to go down that far. Okay, so Jesus commended him because he had the gift of faith in operation and his son got healed instantly. Okay. So this gift is usually preceded by a word from the Lord so that your faith does not rest in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. It says here, people that have this gift have extraordinary ability to believe what God has said. They have great confidence even when circumstances look bleak. They usually are characterized by passionate prayer life. They are often in leadership positions. They are sometimes criticized for being overconfident. Yeah. I understand that. Okay, gift of healing. The healing of all manner of sickness by supernatural power without human aid or medicine. This God-given special anointing to serve and strengthen the body of Christ by healing and restoring to health beyond traditional and natural means those who are sick, hurting, and suffering. People with this gift believe firmly that people can be supernaturally healed. They pray specifically to be used by God to heal others. They view medicine or doctors are always a means for God may choose for healing. You hear that? Doctors are not our enemies, okay? God put them here because we need them. And Steve said he needed them, okay? That doesn't mean God isn't going to take care of the rest, okay? Okay, and we're talking about a gift of healing. That is when we're in a meeting, and I'm going to give you examples of that, okay? And it just supernaturally comes, and the person is instantly healed, okay? They also embrace their gift as from the hand of God and bring him glory. The working of miracles. This is a supernatural power to intervene in ordinary course of nature and counteract natural laws. This is a God-given special anointing to serve and strengthen the body of Christ and others by performing miracles by the power of the Holy Spirit. These miracles will always point back to Jesus Christ as Lord and bring validity to God and his power. Now, just a few examples here. Let's look up John 2, 1 through 11. Wow, time's flying. It says, on the third day, there was a wedding feast in Galilean village of Cana, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples were all invited to the banquet, but with so many guests in attendance, they ran out of wine. And when Mary realized that was his mom, when Mary realized that, she came to him and asked, "They have no wine. Can't you do something about it?" Jesus replied, "My dear one, don't you understand that if I do this, it won't change anything for you, but it will change everything for me. My hour of unveiling my power has not yet come." Mary then went to the servers and told them, "Whatever Jesus tells you, make sure that you do it." Now there are 6 stone water pots standing nearby. They were meant to be used for the Jesus washing rituals. Each one held about 20 gallons or more. Jesus came to the servers and told them, "Fill the pots with water, right up to the very brim." Then he said, "Now fill your pitchers and take them to the master of ceremonies." And when they poured out their pitcher for the master of ceremonies to sample, the water became wine. When he tasted the water that became wine, the master of the ceremonies was impressed, although he didn't know where the wine had come from, but the servers knew. He called the bridegroom over and said to him, "Every host serves his best wine first until everyone has had a cup or two. Then he serves the wine of poor quality. But you, my friend, you've reserved the most exquisite wine until now." This miracle in Cana was the first of many extraordinary miracles Jesus performed in Galilee. This was a sign revealing his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Praise God. We'll skip the other example. Okay. People with this gift, the working of miracles. They render credit and thanks to God alone for supernatural works. They fully grasp the fact that miracles only occur when God wills them to happen. They see themselves as instruments for God's use. They pray and look to supernatural results whenever they encounter impossible life situations. They recognize prayer as a supernatural vehicle through which God acts in the lives of people. Okay, it says to read important points. Let's go to the important points about different types of miracles. There's 3 categories: provision, healing, and judgment of miracles. Okay, the provisional miracles, like it occurred in 1 Kings 17, 14, 16, was about the widow who was out of food. And the prophet came, and it multiplied. And then in Matthew 14, 17, 22, Jesus received 5 loaves and 2 fish and fed a multitude of people. This was an impossible circumstance, set the stage for God to intervene through the gift of working of miracles. God receives the glory. Amen. That happened here one time with bagels, by the way. The bagels kept multiplying supernaturally. Praise the Lord. Okay, healing miracles. There are so many healing miracles recorded in the Bible. God overturned the effects of illness or disease and restored the individual to complete health. When the Lord works a miracle of healing, it is instantaneous, and there's so many of them in the Bible. Judgment miracles. They are found in Exodus chapters 7 through 14 and Acts 5 through 11 through 14. In Exodus, the Lord did mighty signs and wonders to deliver Israel from the Egyptian bondage. That's found in Exodus 6, 2 through 8. The miracles that God did to deliver Israel struck fear in the hearts of their enemy. In Acts chapter 5 records the judgment of the Lord upon Ananias and Sapphira because they lied to the Holy Spirit. And the result of this miracle of judgment was that healthy fear of God came upon the church in Acts 5:11, along with healthy fear, a reverence of God. And then more miracles occurred in Acts 5:12, and the church grew in numbers and strength, Acts 5:14. Reasons for miracles. God works miracles to display his power and glory as a sign to the unbelievers, Psalm 147:3-7 in Hebrews 2:4. And the Lord Jesus established his church with signs, wonders, and miracles. Jesus Christ commissioned his church to preach the same gospel that he preached. The gospel of the kingdom of God must be accompanied with signs, wonders, and miracles, and from the power of the Holy Spirit. That's Mark 16:15-20 and 1 Corinthians 2:4-5. Yes. Yes, these are the gift of the working of miracles. It happens during a meeting, specifically through ministers, which I'm going to give you examples of, that happen instantaneously, like with Jesus. Regular healing, which we all have, doesn't always happen right away. But it's in the long run it is, if you want to say that. Okay. All right. Yeah, let me move. You'll understand better when I give more examples what I'm talking about. See, these things don't always flow all the time, okay? It's by the Spirit. It's by the Holy Spirit. But we do walk in healing because we believe in it. Okay. Where am I? God works miracles to deliver his people from adversity. Exodus chapter 7 through 14 and Acts 12, 5 through 12. The miraculous delivering power of God reminds believers that they are engaged in a spiritual battle. Only by trusting God for his supernatural intervention can we defeat our spiritual foes. Scriptures say that God in us is greater than the devil. 1 John 4, 4. God is able to deliver his people from every evil power. God works miracles to increase our faith. God works miracles to edify and build up the faith of his people. John 20, 30 through 31, the Lord miraculously delivers his people so that they will believe in him. 2 Peter 2, 9. God works miracles to confirm the preaching of the gospel to the lost. Mark 16, 15 through 18. Miracles are done to spread the message of the gospel. The Lord Jesus gave authority and the power to his disciples, and as they ministered in the power of the Spirit, many people believed on the Lord. Jesus Christ sent the Holy Spirit to the whole church, Acts 1, 4, 2, and 4. The purpose for the coming of the Spirit is so that the church might receive supernatural power to do the works of God. And that's us, Acts 1 through 8 and John 14, 12. Okay, what I've done here was I'm going to talk about some of the people. Here are some great healing and miracle of revivalists to build up your faith in the gifts so that you can bring glory to the Lord too. Okay, these men and women are just ordinary people, okay? They became powerful in the Spirit after they were baptized in the Holy Spirit and allowed the Lord to flow through them in the Holy Spirit's giftings, because we have these giftings too, okay? Now, I know what you're saying. They were all called by God. We are all called by God, okay? Smith Wigglesworth. He was a plumber. He was an ordinary plumber. He got baptized in the Spirit and started using his gifts. Smith raised the dead. One of the most remarkable aspects of Wigglesworth's ministry was his reported ability to raise the dead. There are documented instances where individuals were brought back to life through his fervent prayers and unwavering faith. He had instantaneous healings. Wigglesworth's meetings were often filled with testimonies of instantaneous healings. People with chronic illnesses, disabilities, and even terminal conditions experienced dramatic improvements or complete healings. He had deliverances from addictions. He also played a pivotal role in helping individuals break free from addiction and bondage. His ministry extended beyond physical healing to emotional and spiritual restoration. John G. Lake, one of my favorite, was a prominent healer and faith healer who played a crucial role in the Pentecostal movement. He witnessed his own healing and his wife's miraculous healings, solidifying his belief in the power of divine healing. Lake's missionary work in South America resulted in the founding of the Apostolic Faith Mission and a powerful revival marked by healings, signs, and wonders. He established healing rooms, which one day I would like to have, in Spokane, Washington, and witnessed over 250,000 confirmed healings within a decade. Lake's personal struggles and challenges, see, he had them too, highlight the importance of faith, integrity, and balancing ministry with family priorities. The ministry of John G. Lake was characterized by the manifestations of signs and wonders. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit led to remarkable healings, deliverances, supernatural encounters. And here are some examples. A woman blind from birth regained her sight after prayer. A man diagnosed with terminal cancer was completely cured. Demon-possessed individuals were set free and restored to sanity. Deaf ears were open, and mute could speak. Those crippled by disease and paralyzed received instant healing and walked again. These signs and wonders were a testament to the power of God operating through John G. Lake in the ministry of AFM. The miraculous healings and deliverances pointed people to the reality of God's love, mercy, and saving grace. John G. Lake established over 700 churches in South Africa. Sorry, wrong country. He inspired global Pentecostal movement. He attracted multitudes seeking physical and spiritual transformation through deliverances from demonic oppression. He expanded belief in the power of God to heal and to restore with supernatural encounters. He started off as just an ordinary man, but he got famous because he started using his gifts. Okay. I have to put some women in there, okay. The ministry of Maria Woodworth Eder. Okay. She was a true pioneer in the history of signs and wonders in the church. She was an uneducated woman from the backwoods of Ohio. She was a rough speaking and marked by suffering. Five of her six children died. Even so, she felt a call from God at the age of 35 to proclaim the gospel. It was a day where women could not vote, let alone preach. So she asked God to qualify her. She recorded in a diary of signs and wonders. The power of the Holy Spirit came down like a cloud. I was covered and wrapped in it. I was baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire with power which has never left me. She began touring with a gospel tent. This was a well-known in America, but Maria's meetings were different. People fell to the ground and lied there for hours. Some saw visions of heaven, which they reported to the audience. Others spoke in tongues. Angelic singing was heard, even by journalists. God used her most strikingly, though, in healing. People traveled hundreds of miles to be prayed for by her. She believed and taught that every need was already supplied in God's atonement. Amen. She got people to lift their hands and praise God from the heart. Then with an authority, she would command the sickness to go. In her various books and press reports of the day, there are ample testimonies of crippled running, cancers disappearing, decayed organs restored, deaf hearing, and mentally ill recovering. Hallelujah. Catherine Coleman. Yes. Catherine lived in the early 20th century. She considered herself to have a specific healing ministry. Rather, she loved to preach about the Holy Spirit. She loved to invite his presence to fill the room and touch hearts. She was very specific that any healing that happened during her meetings was not done by her. Rather, it was done by the Holy Spirit. He is the one who heals. Catherine's healing ministry began in Franklin, Pennsylvania. She had spoken in a previous meeting about the Holy Spirit and had invited his presence into the room. That evening, just as she got up to speak again, she was interrupted by a woman who stood up in the audience. She said, "Pardon me, Miss Coleman," the woman called out, "but I have a testimony to give. While you were preaching last night, I had a strange sensation in my body, and I knew I'd been healed. I knew it. Today, I went to my doctor, and he confirmed that I was healed." Catherine would later learn that this woman had been diagnosed with a tumor. When she asked for God's Spirit to fill the room, he touched her. It also says this about her: in the world of faith, healing, and evangelism, few names loom as large as that of Catherine Coleman, known for her powerful, charismatic preaching style. Coleman was a force not to be reckoned with in the mid-20th century, drawing thousands of followers to her sermons and healing services. Catherine Coleman was a woman ahead of her time. Born in 1907 in Concordia, Missouri, she rose to fame as a charismatic preacher and faith healer in the mid-20th century. Despite facing criticism and skepticism, Coleman's unwavering belief in the power of God's healing touch drew thousands to her healing services. Her ministry was marked by miraculous healings, with countless individuals claiming to have been cured of various ailments after attending her meetings. Coleman's influence extended beyond her healing services. She was a pioneer in the use of the media for evangelism, hosting a radio show called Heart to Heart, and later a television program, I Believe in Miracles. She also authorized several books, sharing her message of faith and healing with an even broader audience. Coleman's impact on the world of faith healing was profound, and her legacy continues to inspire many today. Amen? Whoo! Reinhard Bonnke.
Oh, yes.
I got a couple more. He was a German-American Pentecostal evangelist, known for his gospel missions throughout Africa. Bonnke had been an evangelist and a missionary in Africa since 1967. He recently just passed away in 2019. Okay, Reinhard Bonnke is known for numerous miracles in his ministry, healing miracles. Many people reported being healed from various ailments during his crusades. These included physical disabilities, chronic illnesses, and other health issues. Raising the dead, one of the most famous miracles associated with Bonnke is the resurrection of Daniel, I can't pronounce his last name, a Nigerian pastor who was declared dead after a car accident. According to reports, he was brought back to life during Bonnke's crusade. Mass conversions, while not a miracle in the traditional sense, Bonnke's crusades led to millions of conversions to Christianity, which many consider a spiritual miracle. Deliverance and demonic possession. There were numerous accounts of individuals being delivered from demonic possession during his events. Hallelujah. There was a book written by him called Raised from the Dead, The Miracle That Brings Promise to America. That's why I'm saying it. Says the first time legendary evangelist Reinhard Bonnke details the miraculous resurrection of the Nigerian man who had been in a coffin, partially embalmed, for 3 days after Bonnke's 3 decades of work in Africa and 74 million decisions for Christ. God used this miracle to confirm his word to Bonnke, America will be saved. And we agree with him. Okay, I have one more. The reason I brought him up is because this man was here. His name was Nathan Morris. Nathan. He was so powerful. After many years of running from God, Nathan Morris gave his life to Jesus Christ in 2002 when he had a life-changing encounter with the presence of God. God began to place a passion in his heart to preach the gospel to the lost. Nathan began preaching on the streets of England in his father's church called the Father's House. During the first few years, many people began to travel from all parts of the United Kingdom to experience the tangible presence of God in his services. It became evident that Nathan would minister the gospel not only in the streets, but to the masses. In 2006, Nathan launched Shake the Nations Ministries and began to travel to the nations. The first Shake the Nation gospel crusades were held in the remote areas of Africa and India. And these gospel campaigns, the Shake the Nation team witnessed thousands of souls converted to Christianity in just the first 2 years of the ministry. Numerous documented miracles took place with the blind, deaf, and crippled, all testifying to their healing. In 2010, evangelist Nathan joined with Pastor John Kilpatrick and the Church of His Presence for what has become known as the Bay Revival. In these meetings, thousands of salvations and notable healings were reported. The Bay Revival was broadcast on God TV to over 200 nations around the world, and countless lives were touched by God's Spirit. We praise God that through Shake the Nation, so many souls have made decisions for Jesus. We may never know how many have given their lives to Christ through Christian television and media. Today, evangelist Nathan is married to Rachel. They reside in Central Florida. Along with the Shake the Nations team, they travel around the world with a burning passion to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to all the nations and see the power of the Holy Spirit demonstrated through signs, wonders, and miracles. The Christian broadcaster Sid Roth described Morris as a young man with serious addictions and an immoral lifestyle until God changed his life. And I know that for a fact. Nathan Morris stayed in my house. and he preached here on a Sunday, and this place was packed. You couldn't get a parking space even in the streets. There was people in wheelchairs. I mean, it was just packed. I don't remember the year, but, you know, we became friends. And this was before he got famous. And then he said he was going to come back here, but, of course, he got, you know, too famous, I guess. He, you know. But anyway, Nathan was addicted. He had a very bad drug addiction and alcohol, and he loved his women. He told us the story. He told us his testimony. And Nathan stayed at our house, and he preached at the Father's house many years ago before he became well known. He packed this place, standing room only, no parking in the lot or in the streets. People came in wheelchairs, the sick were healed, and many were saved. Okay, some of his notable miracles were healing a paralysis during a gospel campaign in Guatemala. A young boy who had suffered from paralysis was reportedly healed. Restoration of sight in a woman in Miami, Florida. A woman testified that her sight was restored during one of his events. Raising of a dead baby in Tanzania. There was a testimony of a baby who was declared dead but was reportedly brought back to life. Now, the one that I know, and I believe it happened at the Bay of, what was that called? Bay of Revival? Yeah. The woman was paralyzed in a wheelchair, waist down, for 22 years. And he prayed for her, and he encouraged her, kind of coaxed her to just step out. And she was hesitant at first, but she took one step. And she was already on the stage. They brought her up on the stage. And she just started walking and then running. And she's been healed ever since. And I can't remember her name. But these are ordinary people. You hear me? Ordinary. Just like you and me. All the gifts of the Holy Spirit are to help people, to rescue them, help to bring deliverance, encouragement, and they can be life-changing. It is time for us to unwrap our gifts and use them for the glory of God. Amen? Okay. Now, is there any questions? Feel free. Anything. Yay, I'm finished. 12:30, right on the nose. I said I was going to need an hour. Do you want to ask? So how do you guys feel now? Encouraged? Powerful? You guys are powerful. Okay. It's scary?
The news is that Chris Reed stepped down from Morningstar, so...
He did something
he shouldn't have. So this kind of stuff's scary because when God uses you so much, Satan wants to tempt so bad.
Chris Reed, anybody hear anything about him? Morningstar? Something happened there. Okay, the enemy doesn't stop, okay? Gifts and callings are without repentance. They still will work in you, and we always have forgiveness of sin from sin. Okay, make the point.
Say, this is the point. When you receive a word from someone that doesn't answer to anybody, be very cautious, because a prophet should always be connected to a council that he's got a covering.
Okay. Coverings, yes, coverings. Yes, reread the great generals, yes, and build your spirit up in the areas where you believe that God is calling you in. We have the power to heal. We lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Amen? As simple as that. Yes, Linda.
Do you
called to be extraordinary.
Yeah, I got that too. Ordinary people are called to be extraordinary people. See, they didn't get into the ministry right away. They just used their gifts, and all the people started coming after them, right? And we're ordinary people with extraordinary gifts. We all have the same power of the Holy Spirit inside of us. And the 9 gifts are for all of us to use and to develop. Amen? Anything else? Wow. Nathan came.
I remember being somewhat afraid of him to pray with him, right? So I avoided him, okay? But he found me somewhere in church. And church was almost over with, and I was like, oh, no. And he walked up to me, and he was probably the only minister. I went down screaming to the top of my voice, but the Holy Ghost was just like, so full in you, whatever I was delivered from, set free from, whatever. But he was the only one. So when you mentioned his name, I started smiling because I remember I was running.
I know. He was the only one that I could think of that I could say I knew him. He stayed in our house. He testified that he would spend hours in his room praying and getting all that stuff that he had out of him. Because he was a wild guy. He told me some of the things. He wasn't ashamed anymore of it, but it was like, you know. And he got delivered. And he just was obedient to God. That's all.
Because we could never know too much because we grow every day. And I am really, really enjoying the teaching that you are teaching us today. And sometimes things happen and we like, you know why, but I truly believe what happened had us to happen so I could be here to receive that teaching. And I'm grateful to God.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, give God the glory. Okay. Well, Father, we just thank you and praise you for today. We thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we don't want to take the Spirit lightly that's in us. Lord, let us be so tender and so wide-eyed and so open ear to hear and see what you're doing and saying than what you want us to do, especially out of these 4 walls. Lord, we just give you all the praise and all the glory for what you're doing in this season, in this time, Lord. You're raising up your body because they need us out there. There is lost, dying people that need to hear from you. So, Lord, we thank you for the open doors of opportunity in every single way that you have to use us. And, Lord, we thank you that you're positioning us every single day in places where we need to be. So, Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.